This is tape 2, side 1 of Windows 95, removing the screen. Welcome back. On this side, we're going to begin with section 6, which is going to be shortcuts and hotkeys. I'd like to recommend that after listening to the previous section, if you feel a bit confused about how dialog boxes work and the kinds of controls you have over your applications, that you should just get into a relatively simple application such as Notepad and just play around with the dialog boxes and try checking and unchecking things and entering things into edit boxes and saving some files. You pretty much can just type in it like a simple text editor, and it shouldn't be too bad, and before long you'll know what to expect from the dialog boxes. I remember if you don't know how to get out of something, in general Alt plus F4 will get you out of whatever you happen to be in, whether it's in the dialog itself, in the pull down menu, or even in the program. Alt F4 will almost always pop you out at least one level, all the way back to your desktop. Let's go ahead now and talk about the shortcuts and hotkeys. And I'm going to demonstrate how to create shortcuts and how to make a hotkey. And they're really two separate but related processes. As we saw from looking at the desktop in the first section, or I should say section 2, and looking at the subsequent folders such as the list of programs and the accessories folder and so forth, I mentioned that the names of things you were hearing were actually shortcuts as opposed to actual names of executable programs. They were instead shortcuts that point to executable programs. And that's exactly what they are, and that's really what icons are. Each of those programs that you heard had an icon associated with it, and a sighted user might not even have much in the way of text appearing on a screen. He might just have icons that tell the whole story, or at least enough of the story to know what to click on and bring up an application or a document or what have you. So we're going to look at how to create one of those shortcuts and how to get one of those shortcuts pointed at a file or a program that we want to run. And then the second step is going to be to look at how can we assign a hotkey so that when we hit just a single key combination, it's going to invoke that shortcut and open our application. And this is, as I've mentioned, a particularly powerful keyboard tool for people who are accessing Windows with speech. Rather than having to type in file names, and as we'll see as part of this, file names can be quite long, unlike in DOS. In Windows 95, your file names can be 255 characters long. So that rather than having to remember all the possible nuances that can be in a long file name, you can simply assign a single keystroke, or I should say combination of keys, to a function or a program, and up it'll come. And then what we're going to look at right after that is opening multiple documents, and that is to say multiple programs or applications, and see how multitasking works and how we can use multitasking in a practical way in combination with the shortcut keys. So we're back here at the Windows 95 system, and it doesn't really matter at this point where we are. We can be in an application, we can have more than one thing open, but what we want to try to do first is to create a new shortcut. And once again, the creating a shortcut is a different process from installing a hotkey or creating a hotkey. Now, most of what we have on the system are in fact shortcuts, and so we could assign a hotkey to anything that is already a shortcut. But let's go ahead and look at creating a shortcut first, and then assuming the shortcut is created either by you or by an installation program or by somebody else, you're going to be able to do a hotkey. The first thing we need to do is prepare the operating system for a modification such as the installation of a new shortcut. So we do that by getting back to our taskbar. And if you recall from an earlier section, to get to the taskbar, we want to hit the start button, so Control Escape. And then we want to hit Escape again.
Button.
Okay, and we're on the taskbar. That button is the start button. And we're on essentially an empty taskbar right now. Now the first thing we want to do, as I said, was prepare the system to accept the modification. And we do that by clicking the right mouse button. Now your screen reader may in fact have a separate button dedicated to a right mouse click, but there's also a generic Windows 95 keyboard command, which is Shift plus F10. So we're going to go ahead and click the right mouse button, and that's going to give us a list of options. And throughout Windows 95, a right mouse click will generally give you options having to do with some of the file management parameters. So here we go, Shift F10.
Menu. Open.
And there's open as the first choice on the menu. That, in fact, is the choice we're going to want. We'll just use the down arrow key here to look at some of the other choices.
Open. Explore. Find dot dot dot. Scan for viruses. Find using Quick Finder. Open.
Okay, we're back to open. I'm going to go ahead and hit enter to select that.
Oh. Open. Desktop.
Okay, so we've clicked open. Now let's see where we are.
Symbol 99 program fill.
Okay, it says symbol 99 programs file.
Shortcut symbol 100 new office dot 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 1KBS.
Alright, and that's a shortcut. We're in a view by detail mode here. We're in the start menu, but it's looking at details such as the file type, the file size, and the creation date. Let's go ahead up to programs.
Symbol 99 Coral Words Perfect. Symbol 99 program fill.
There we go. I'll hit enter to select it.
Desktop. Symbol 99 XBang 2.0 for Win. Dot dot dot. Symbol 99 automatic screen. Dot dot dot. File folder 1/2/97. 10:00 PM.
Okay, so we're here in our program list. Also, once again, getting the view by detail screen, so we see a lot more information than we normally would about each of these choices. I'm going to go ahead at this point and tell it I want to create a new shortcut. So the first thing I do is hit Alt F, which pulls down the file menu.
File open.
And open is the first choice. Now we'll look at our choices here.
Explore. Find dot dot dot. Scan for viruses. Find using Quick Finder. Send it to. New. Create shortcut. Delete. Rename.
All right. Now, you would think that create shortcut is the choice we want there, but actually it isn't. We want new, because we're going to create a new shortcut. We have to tell it that it's a new file type, or rather a new file.
Delete. Create shortcut. New.
So we're going to hit enter on the word new. We could just hit W. Could hit Alt F followed by W.
Folder. Menu.
Okay.
Folder.
And there's new folder. If I selected that, it would give me a new folder in the start menu. You know, I have Corel WordPerfect Suite in there, I have programs, I have office documents, and if I wanted to create a new folder in that start menu, I would select folder right now. I'm going to go ahead and hit down arrow.
Shortcut.
And there's shortcut. That's the one I'm going to want. Let's just look at what else is here.
Wave sound. Text document. Microsoft Word document. Bitmap image. Microsoft PowerPoint presentation. Presentation 7 show. Presentation 7 drawing.
So it's got a lot of choices. It goes on. I'm going to go back up to shortcut.
Bitmap micro text waves shortcut.
I'm going to go ahead and select it.
File. Desktop. Symbol 99 automatic screen dot 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 file folder 1/2/97. 10:00 PM. Dialog. Create shortcut, type the location and name of the item you want to create a shortcut to. Or search for the item by clicking Browse command line.
Okay, well that's interesting. We're in a dialog box, and what it's presented me with, it said a bunch of stuff as the screen was updating, but what it's now presenting me with is a dialog box with an edit field, and it wants to know the name of what the shortcut is going to be. And what it is really asking for there is a path name, and that's simply a DOS path name. Now, it could be a long file name, and we will be talking about long file names, but for now, let's just assume it's going to be a standard 8x3 type file name, and we'll go with that. I'm going to go ahead and tell it that I want to create a shortcut to the Windows Telnet program. Now, Telnet is a communications program for doing one particular type of internet activity. And that's all you need to know at this point. Well, go ahead and type in Telnet.
T-E-L-N-E-T.
And I know that's what I want, so I'm going to go ahead, instead of tabbing down to where it says OK, I'm simply going to hit Enter.
Telnet dialog. Select a title for the program. Select a name for the shortcut. Telnet.x/finish/cancel.
All right. It says select the name for the shortcut, and it's putting in as a default telnet.exe, and we could select that. But now we have the luxury, if we want to, of changing that simple path statement, telnet, into a long file name. So we'll go ahead and call this
E-L-N-E-T-C-O-M-U-X-C-H-S.
Okay, we'll go ahead, let me see if I spelled it all right.
Telnet Communications.
We'll go ahead and call it Telnet Communications. And I could call it my favorite Telnet Communications package if I wanted to. It would be fine with Windows 95. I'm going to go ahead and hit Enter because I'm satisfied with that.
Desktop.
And now I believe we're back on our program list.
Simple 99 Zare Applications File. Simple 99 Composer File Folder 9/15
File. Yep, we're back in our list, and I just hit the Tab key by accident. All right, tap it again to get out. Let me go ahead and hit the N key, which will get me to the bottom of the list. Just the in the six-pack group of keys on the keyboard, I'm just going to hit the end, and that'll take me to the bottom of my program list.
Shortcut symbol 125, Telnet Communica dot 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 1KB, shortcut 1/16/97, 2.
Okay, you heard Telnet Commune dot dot dot. That's because I'm in this full detail mode, and it's not able to present me with the entire name. But you heard it announced that there's a shortcut there called Telnet Communications and gave some other information about it.
Shortcut symbol 125, Telnet Communica dot 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 1KB, shortcut 1/6.
Okay, I could stop right here if I wanted to. I don't have to assign a hotkey to this. I've assigned a shortcut so that now instead of going to the run line and typing Telnet, I can simply go down my program list and type go to the end or hit the letter T and go right to Telnet Communications and select it, and off I'd go. And that is where the first part of the process ends. And any of these other shortcuts that are already on here now are subject to what I'm going to do next, and that is the creation of a hotkey. All right, to assign a hotkey, we're going to look at our file properties. And you've probably heard properties whiz past a couple of times as I've looked at various pull-down menus. And here we're actually going to modify some file properties. I'm going to go ahead and hit Alt-F.
File. Open.
And now I'm going to use the down arrow.
Scan for viruses. Send to. New. Create shortcut. Delete. Rename. Properties.
There we go. I'm on properties. I'm going to go ahead and hit Enter.
Desktop. Dialog. Telnet Communications Properties General Shortcut Telnet Communications Type.
All right, you heard Telnet Communications Properties, then you heard General and Shortcut. And those are two file tabs. Those are two side-by-side dialog boxes, and I'm gonna switch between them by, again, using Control Tab. And they're, you know, on some property sheets are four or five or six of those file tabs, but on this one there's two. There's General and Shortcut. We're not going to make any modifications to the general properties, but let's take a quick look at it. I'm going to start by hitting Tab.
Button. Sample 130 hidden.
And that's a checkbox that would allow me to turn this into a hidden file. I'm going to hit tab again.
Checked. Button. Sample 131 archive.
Okay, it's considered an archive.
Button. Okay.
And there's okay. So that was a pretty short one.
Button. Cancel.
There's cancel.
Property sheet. General shortcut.
And then I'm back on my, where it says property sheet, where I can go over from the general dialog to the shortcut dialog. So I'm going to go ahead now, hit Control Tab to move over to the shortcut dialog. And I'm there.
General shortcut.
And now we're going to hit the tab.
Windows Dynamics. Added. Target. Windows Dynamics.
Okay, that's the target directory. We're going to leave that alone.
Windows. Added. Start in.
And it's saying start in Windows, which is the directory where it's essentially the DOS directory where we want to be when that's executed.
Shortcut key. None.
All right. That's the important one there. It says shortcut key, none. Let's go ahead and assign a shortcut key. Now, in assigning a shortcut key, it's important to try to find a combination of keys that's not going to interfere with some other command. For example, if I assign this to Control-N, every time I hit Control-N, it would activate this program. Now, that wouldn't be so smart, because if you've noticed in virtually every file menu that we've pulled down, Control-N means new file or new window or something of that nature. So anytime I'd be trying to do the new whatever command from the file pull down, I'd be invoking this telnet program. So let's not use Control-N. In fact, let's not use Control anything. Well, what about Alt keys? Well, Alt F is taken, Alt V is taken. In fact, Alt almost everything is taken in one program or another, so that's probably not good either. Well, the best thing to do is to use a combination of Control and Alt, or maybe Shift plus Alt, because in Windows you're not going to come across any application commands that use a combination like that. So I'm going to go ahead and assign this to Control Alt T. And when I assign it to, and when I hit Control Alt T now,
space.
It's going to say space, but let's go ahead and go down one tab.
Normal window selected.
All right.
Combo box.
That's a combo box. We'll get to that in just a second, but let's go back up one.
Shortcut key. Control Alt T.
Control Alt T. So our shortcut key is assigned. We'll go ahead down one now, back to the combo box.
Normal window selected.
Okay, we can have normal window.
Minimizer selected.
Minimized.
Maximizer selected.
Or maximized. And that's going to govern how it appears on the screen. If we select normal window, it will cascade down as one of however many windows we have open and be one of the crew, and we'll be able to switch to it if we want to, as you'll see in the next section. If we choose minimize, it's going to come up as just an icon and isn't going to be really useful until we then open the icon. And if we choose maximize, it's going to take up the entire screen while it's operating. So let's go ahead and just use normal.
Minimize normal window selected.
And I'm going to hit tab again.
Button. Find target dot dot dot.
Okay, we don't need that because that's a searching dialog.
Button. Change icon dot dot dot.
All right, that would allow us, this is going to randomly, or not randomly, but it is going to assign an icon from a list of icons to that shortcut on our program list. Since I'm blind, I really could care less what the icon looks like, so I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to hit tab again.
Button. Okay.
And there's our okay. I'm going to go ahead and hit enter to select okay.
Shortcut symbol 125, telnet communica dot 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 1kb shortcut 1/16/97, 2:50.
All right, now we're back in our program list with our shortcut there. But we have to get back into our normal Windows 95 operating mode here. So I'm going to go back all the way out of this, back to the taskbar. So I'm going to do Alt F4.
Desktop.
We'll see where we are
start
here.
Start menu.
Okay, we're back in the start menu.
Active. Text assist server.
And we don't want
desktop.
We don't want that.
And minimize.
One more.
Active. Text assist server.
Okay, we've seen
desktop.
Okay, we're back at our desktop, and the text assist server is just running there on the taskbar to provide speech for us. So we're back into normal business now. Let's go ahead and try my shortcut key, which is Control-Alt-T, and let's see what happens. I'm being just a little clumsy here. It'll take a second, but here we go.
Tell it none. Current. Active. Tell it none. Connect Tabit terminal help.
All right, and we're in our... Well, we're in our Telnet program. And that's all there is to it. So now, wherever I happen to be in Windows, I can hit my simple key combination, my Control plus Alt plus T, and I'll be here in my Telnet client. And we could have done that with any program. As we're going to see right now, we could also do that with a DOS program. Remember, in an earlier section, I was talking about the fact that Windows 95 is pretty smart about what it is you're opening, even to the point of opening a DOS directory and looking through it. Well, we can assign shortcuts to DOS programs, and Windows 95 is smart enough that when you assign a shortcut to a DOS program, it will simply open it. Now the caveat here is that when you assign a shortcut to a DOS program, Windows 95 is going to open a DOS box. You're still going to be in Windows, but you're going to open a DOS box and run the DOS program. So you must have a DOS screen reader running. There are two ways to do that. You can either put the usual commands to run your DOS screen reader in an autoexec file that comes up when you boot the computer, and many of the DOS programs will stand by in the background and not say anything unless the DOS box is opened. Or you can forgo that part of it and just run your DOS speech when you get a DOS box open. My preference is to install the speech in the autoexec.bat file so that it comes in automatically when the computer starts up. And what I've done here now is switch synthesizers, and that's because Text Assist doesn't work under DOS. So that you're going to hear a different synthesizer. You're going to hear the Double Talk synthesizer. But you're also going to hear what happens when we hit a hotkey. So we're in Windows.
Desktop, proper.
On our desktop. I'm going to go ahead and hit my hotkey for DOS. And when we run DOS, when we open a DOS box from Windows, we're actually running a program called command.com, which is a DOS shell. But that's what you do, is you run command.com from Windows, and you get a DOS box. I've got a shortcut key to do that, which is Control-Alt-D. I'll do that now. And you're going to hear that the speech is fairly seamless, since I'm using a single synthesizer for both operating systems. It's going to be very hard to tell when one operating system ends and the other starts. Hit the
DOS XMS swapping initialized 162K for DOS running under Windows 95 for DOS 5.51B Win 95 DOS 7.
Okay.
Active. For DOS auto for DOS XMS swapping initialized 162.
Okay, I silenced that. The speech is a little different there, and that actually referred to 4DOS, which is a variant of DOS, but it works exactly the same as the standard Microsoft DOS. And I'll go ahead and hit the Enter key.
C.
And I'm at my C prompt. I am still in Windows in a DOS box, but essentially I'm at a normal C prompt, and it will look and act just like any other C prompt that you may be familiar with. Now, if I want to go back to Windows, I'll just type exit.
E-X-I-T.
That'll close my DOS box.
Desktop. Property sheet.
And I had a little sound effect there, which told me that I was exiting back to Windows. So that's one thing. You can go right to a DOS prompt in that way, or you can actually have a shortcut that ties you right into a DOS application. So if I want to run WordPerfect 6.0, which is a DOS application, there's nothing Windows about it, I can go ahead and hit my key combination, which is Shift-Alt-W, and I'm going to do that now.
Active WordPerfect WP Auto LC. Windows 3X Enhanced Mode Detected Task Swap Update Disabled. Pause 10, Symbol 26 WordPerfect WP Symbol 12 Symbol 11 Symbol 10. File Edit View Layout Tools Font Graphics Window Held. Courier 12 PT Doc 1 Page 1 Line 6.
And there I am in WordPerfect. And this is actually WordPerfect for DOS running in my DOS box. And the speech, you can see, is consistent. We're going to talk a little bit more about getting into DOS when we start talking about file management. But it's important to know at this point, before we talk about multitasking, that you can, in fact, go equally well into DOS or Windows applications from your Windows 95 interface. This makes it easy, as well as to do multitasking. It makes it easy to maintain the use of some of your favorite DOS programs. I think people are under the impression that if you switch to Windows, especially Windows 95, that you have to give up everything that you ever liked about DOS, and that simply isn't true. You can run as many DOS programs as space will permit on your computer, as well as some of the Windows applications. This is Section 7, Multitasking. Multitasking refers to your computer's ability, using Windows or Windows 95, to run more than one program at a time. But that's really an oversimplified definition. As you'll see in the following demonstration, multitasking is really quite useful because it permits different programs to work together, as well as to work with you independently. Also, I think it's just easier in some respects to work in a multitasking environment. Of course, you can decide for yourself. Well, basically, multitasking means that you can run more than one thing at a time, multiple tasks. And I'm here back at my desktop, and I'm back on the double talk synthesizer because I want to be able to do a few things, some of which will involve the Sound Blaster card doing something other than the speech synthesis. Let me go ahead and open up my MIDI directory again. And what you're hearing there are some background sounds, which we will talk about. And those are sounds associated with different activities in Windows.
Dialog. Run type the name of a program, folder, or document, and Windows will open it for you.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead back to my MIDI directory.
C, colon, back, M-I-D-I, symbol 8, MIDI, symbol 7, file K. Symbol 16 cas.mid12kb.
And let's find something we want to listen to.
Symbol 16 casline 5.mid. Symbol 16 casline 6.mid18kb.
Okay, let's go ahead and listen to that. It's just sort of a generic jazz MIDI file. We'll hit enter. As you know, it's going to bring up the media player and start playing it.
Active cas 6 mid. Media player playing file edit device scale.
And we'll turn it down so it's sort of in the background. Okay, while our music is playing, let's go ahead and, say we want to work in DOS while the MIDI player is going. So we'll go ahead and hit our hotkey for DOS.
For DOS XMS, active. For DOS Auto, C.
And even though my MIDI is being taken from the MIDI directory, the MIDI subdirectory off my root, we're just here in our plain old DOS directory. We can do what I want. We can do what we want. I'll do a directory. So I'm just, you know, using the computer. And without closing this DOS box, I'm going to go ahead and open up my WordPerfect for DOS. All right, and now I've got four windows open. I've got my MIDI directory open. I've got the media player going, playing this MIDI file. I have WordPerfect running in DOS, and I have a DOS prompt all running at the same time. Let's go ahead now, and well, let's say we want to run Notepad.
R. Dialog. Run type the name of a program folder or document. N-O-T-E-P-A-D.
I'll go ahead and put Notepad on.
Active. Untitled. Notepad. Edit. Simple 150. Simple 151. Simple 152. Simple 100.
Okay. And, oops, I hit the Alt key, so I got the file menu. Right, we're back in the body of Notepad. Now, you notice the music stopped. Well, now we've got five things running. Let's go ahead and look at these five things that are running and see what we can do, because, of course, we can only attend to one thing at a time, but we can get things to happen all at a time, and which we'll see in just a minute. I'm going to go ahead now and use my task switch command. If you were sighted and using a mouse, you would simply click on the corner of the appropriate window. You'd have them either in cascaded format or tiled format. Now, cascaded means that the different windows that are open on your desktop overlay each other. And so the one you're currently working on is sort of like a playing card lying on top of another playing card. And if you click on the corner of the underneath playing card, that one will come to the top, and you can work with it. And then if you click another one, you know, from the back of the stack, that one will be moved to the top, and the other ones will fall behind. The other choice that you have as a sighted user is to have your windows tiled. And tiled simply means that the different windows that are currently working fit on the screen side by side, and you can view all of them at the same time. And when you get a whole bunch of them going, of course, they get smaller and smaller. But you can work on one, and if you're particularly interested in one, you can increase its size or even maximize it to fill the whole screen. That's not quite as important when you're using speech, because it will continue to talk to you even if it's not filling the whole screen. But let's go ahead and use Alt-Tab, and Alt-Tab is our task switch command. And that's going to bring us back to the last open application. So let's do our Alt-Tab.
Active. WordPerfect. WP auto.
And there's WordPerfect. Let me hit my Alt-Tab again to go back to the last one we were using.
Active. Untitled. Notepad. Fine.
Back to Notepad. Now, if we want to cycle through all the open tasks, we're going to go ahead and use Alt-Escape. And that's going to cycle us through everything that's open on our desktop. So here's Alt-Escape.
Active. WordPerfect. WP auto file edit.
I'll hit it again. We didn't hear anything. Let's see what we're in, though.
Unlocked. Next, local PLS, MS, DOS, org, spews, tab, net, lock, txt, op, backup, bad, op, pifo, and lock. C.
Okay, that's simply our DOS prompt. I didn't say anything when I first got into it until I reviewed the screen. Let me go ahead and hit Alt-Escape again.
MIDI.
There's our MIDI list. That's our open DOS directory.
Active. Dialog.
And
HP status window. Edit.
Okay, that's my printer status program. Hit it again, and I think that's it. The media player is actually closed, even though the MIDI list is still open. But we're not done. Let me just point out that an immediate sort of advantage, or at least the sort of advantage you have in this sort of environment, is illustrated, I think, by that printer status program that you heard. Now that's kind of the equivalent of what you'd call a TSR in DOS, a terminate and stay resident. And actually, it's not terminating and staying resident, it's actually running. These programs, even though you're not focused on them, are actually running programs. You're just not focused on them. And the computer is capable of doing all the things the program needs to do, except, of course, when you need to give it input, then you have to focus on that and give it some input. Anyhow, the HP status program takes advantage of the printer's two-way communications ability to tell me about the status of my printer. So if I were in my word processor and went to print and there was something wrong with the printer, that program would pop to the top of the stack and alert me. It would make a little noise through the speakers and actually speak and say, your printer is out of paper or whatever. In fact, I could be going through any of these applications, even in DOS, Even having nothing to do with the printer, if I went over to the printer and pulled the stack of paper out, that window would pop up and tell me that my printer was out of paper. So the programs are very often smart enough to know when they should come to the surface and let you know what they're up to and give you some choices. Let me see if I can get back to our MIDI list real quick. I'm going to start some more music to continue to illustrate what we're doing. So let's see.
Desktop. Simple 107 held.
I think we may actually be in it here.
Simple 107 media.
Yeah, we're there.
Simple 109 menu at .mid. Simple 109 missed line 3.mid 4kb.
Let me get one that'll last a few minutes.
Simple 109 missed line 9.mid 5kb. Simple 109 missed line 12.mid 39kb.
Okay, let's give that one a try. We'll hit enter. Go ahead and turn it down. So we got some more background music. While we're listening to our music and we have these other things open, let's open up yet another DOS program. And what I'm going to do is open up Tapsis, which is an offline mail reader for CompuServe. It runs in DOS and it will automatically dial up CompuServe and download electronic mail messages and messages from some forums.
Loading Tapsis, active. Mail MSGS 24 unread slash 24 new.
Okay, now we're in Tapsis. I'm going to go ahead and hit N, which tells it to pick up new messages.
N, blank, active, connect bar new inbox, open com 1 colon, FIFO buffer is on, come.
And there it goes. And Tapsis is simply going to log on, and it could spend, you know, depending on how much is going on and how much stuff is waiting for me, anywhere from, you know, 5 to 15 minutes online. But you notice, unlike, for instance, in DOS, we don't lose the use of our computer. Things are still moving right along. I'll go ahead, even while Tapsis is doing its thing, and open up WordPerfect for Windows, which will be about the 9th or 10th program open. Message. I guess it was looking at one of the places where it found no new messages. Our music has ended, but here we are in WordPerfect. Let's go ahead and hit Control Q, which is a hotkey to acquire text from the scanner. Okay, and that beep you just heard was Tapsis ending its session. I'm going to go ahead and hit Control Q.
Active. Corel WordPerfect dash document 1 file edit view insert format table graphics tools window help quick fonts times new Roman 12 PT styles left insert HP laser jet 5L left PCL right select PG 1L F1 I pause 1I.
It's giving me a bunch of status information. And my scanner should now, there it goes. And so what WordPerfect has in turn done is called up OmniPage, which is a scanning program. So the multitasking.
Scanning image reading page 1 cancel.
There it goes. So the multitasking can even be invoked by one program toward another. OmniPage and WordPerfect will cooperate together. While the scanning is going on, I may still be downloading, although I think I know that my Tapsis session has ended. So as you can see from this demonstration, I have acquired quite a bit of efficiency over running each of these programs separately in DOS. Now, it's not likely that you would ever open 9 or 10 things at one time, but you could open several. Certainly, I've got the HP printer status program running. I've got the word processor running. I've got the scanner running. I could be connected to the internet at the same time. The music I put in there may not be likely that you'd run background music off MIDI files, but you could. You could do additional things. You could do voice recognition, all sorts of interactive things. When we talk about file management, you're going to see how we can also move text and move information from one program to another simply by having them both open at the same time. And that can be done manually, and in some cases that's done automatically by your system. I silenced the speech. Let's go ahead and take a look at our WordPerfect document here and see if we have anything.
Alias ignore all suggestion. Alias, areas, areas, endless, change all that suggest options, .. Don't check markers only left.
Alright, that's something I didn't expect. That, in fact, is a spell checker. So OmniPage has brought up another program, which is a spell checker. And so the multitasking is working quite well.
Button, ignore all.
And I'm going to say ignore all.
Speak, tilde, speak. Edit, change to space MS sans serif, symbol 245, check markers only left, no spell dash checking right, button.
There we go.
Dial out, button, cancel, active, Corel Word perfect dash document, one file edit, view insert for.
And that was simply a dialog box having to do with the spell checker, and I told it not to do any spell checking.
HS speaks introduces you to a new world of geographic information and inserts HP later, get 5L left, PCL right, select PG1L1I, pause 1I. Symbol 94.
Get this to read a little.
Reference notes, comma, quickly and easily, dot. Easy to explore, at last speaks is easy to learn, but once you take re-familiar with the view, key explore, dot.
Okay, so basically, I've spell-checked my document, I've been in WordPerfect, I've opened up OmniPage by invoking the right command from WordPerfect, and then OmniPage has opened up the spell-checker, and then when I closed that by just telling it to not to do the spell-checking, it closed everything and left me back in WordPerfect, with the document having been transferred automatically from OmniPage to the word processor. And as we'll see, I could then work with that document and put it even someplace else. So in a nutshell, that's multitasking, and that's the utility of multitasking. The other thing I wanted to point out is that you don't have to exit a program or get a program into a special state or really do anything special to get from one program to another or to open a program or close a program. All your Windows keyboard commands pretty much remain in effect at all times. So if I wanted to go hit the start button, even while I were scanning or in WordPerfect, I would simply do Control Escape, hit the start button, and run another program. I could do my hotkeys as you've seen me do. I could go into DOS programs. I can look at DOS programs, look at Windows programs, and just very facilely switch from one to the other. And finally, you saw how we switched from program to program by either doing Alt-Tab or Alt-Escape. Well, you can do that and cycle through your open programs. But if you have hotkeys to programs, you can also go directly to those programs by hitting the hotkey. For example, I may have been 3 or 4 programs away from Tapsis as I was running the scanner and all that, but if I had simply done my Control-Shift-T, which is my Tapsis hotkey, it would have popped me right back into my Tapsis box, and I could be working at Tapsis, and I could do my hotkey for WordPerfect and pop right back into WordPerfect. So, I can very quickly go from one thing to another, and it's not a bit unusual for me to have 2 or 3 or 4 things open on my desktop all day long, and rather than running each program separately, is simply just hotkey from one to another, and the system just sits there and works with me as far as whichever application I desire. By the way, if it's important to you, or if there's some reason why you might like to minimize individual running windows, you can, and that's with Control plus F4, and that will, shrink it down to just an icon, and someone looking at the screen won't be able to tell what's going on, but the program will remain in memory running, and you can just click on the icon to open it back up again and work on it. And as usual, Alt F4 will get you out of a particular program. It will actually exit the window and close it for you. This bears some comment again on system resources. We talked about that in section 1 of this tutorial. And the issue is the memory management, which is contained within Windows 95. Windows 95 is able to dynamically make use of as much memory as you have in your system. Also, it's able to dynamically make use of a portion of your hard disk for disk caching and other memory management type functions. If you have a real minimal system for running Windows 95, such as a 386 with 4 megabytes, your multitasking is gonna run into problems. The computer is gonna slow way down as you open more than just a couple of things and start drawing on system resources. If you only have the 4 megabytes, some of those programs may take up that much memory or even more, in which case it may be able to use the hard disk to act as virtual memory. but again, you may run into sluggishness there, and you may even run out of available space for doing that sort of memory swapping on your hard disk. To do any significant amount of multitasking and system management, as you saw me doing a few minutes ago, you know, you probably want 16 megs of memory, and you know, memory in computers is plentiful these days as compared with just a few years ago. So a 16 megabyte system should be a fairly common thing to find, and also upgrading a system with less memory than that shouldn't be too terribly expensive. Probably the slowest processor you'd want to use is maybe a 486-100. You could get away with a slower 486, but a 486-100 I think is where you'd start to see the performance really start going up, and then any of the Pentium class machines. Okay, we're at the end of side one of tape two. Go ahead and turn the tape over, and we're going to start talking about file management under Windows 95.